people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're Did going you know to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens,
or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Isn't that the truth? They say they want their freedom. But is that really the case? I'm not so sure. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show, and you are listening to Civic Media. Join the conversation today, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Really pumped, Evan, because, boy, lots of news. And sales tax news.
It's important.
And Erica Payne. So that's going to be great. I'm going to be joined again today by my friend, Erica Payne, who heads up an organization called the Patriotic Millionaires, who has just undertaken what they call the Great Economy Project. And it's a big deal because the core message is you shouldn't be worried about if your neighbor's not sufficiently weeding their lawn if your house is burning down. And in fact, that's the point, right? There's a lot of distraction going on, and it's distraction. So we're not talking about the things that we have in common, which are pretty numerous and pretty basic. But before I get there, you've often heard me talk about performative politics. Of course, there's theater and politics. It's a core element of that. We have orators going back to Greek and Roman times. But when I say performative politics, I don't mean, geez, there's a problem with people who give a good speech or are good, on the handshake lines. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when politicians engage in behavior and antics that they're clearly doing for only one of basically two reasons. The first one is raw self-aggrandizement. It's just, I want to rapidly promote myself. I don't think I'm getting enough screen time and clicks. I need to do something to draw lots of attention to myself. The other reason, equally basic, is that it is either an exertion or an act that they're undertaking simply to accumulate power. So they'll engage in this like wildly rhetorical, sometimes pretty facially ludicrous positions. Or positions that really, if that was the adopted position of the government, would wreak real harm on people. And so it's one of my least favorite things. And it's important that we call out both folks on the right and the left when they engage in this, what is at base, most selfish behavior. Because performative politics is only about one person, the elected official, either feeding ego or just exercising power, trying to accumulate power for power's sake, not an advancement of any worthy policy goal. And today, we're seeing examples on the extreme ends of that spectrum. And the extreme ends of that spectrum are the most debased, self-serving politician ever imaginable that will say and do the most despicable things, so long as it, again, either makes the person look good, feeds ego, or acquires or leverages power simply for power's sake, not in pursuit of any higher ideal or goal. And at the other end of the spectrum is the public servant, is the elected official who will take a vote knowing that it may cost them their next election. But they take that vote and they vote for that thing, even though it may cost them their election, because they know that it will serve their constituents and the larger population of folks, if it happens to be a legislator, the larger body of folks within that jurisdiction that they serve. In other words, the very epitomes of selfless and selfish. And in the news, both today and yesterday, I thought there were prime examples. And I'm going to avoid talking about Donald Trump because he is clearly the poster child for the extreme selfish politician. Right? So here are the two examples. And if you want to join this conversation, 844-967-2789. That's my definition of what performative politics is. What it means, it's in pursuit of only two possible things. It's basically ego and power, often intertwined. So exhibit or example one today, the Milwaukee Common Council took a vote on a 2% sales tax. And it was either do the sales tax or don't do the sales tax. And so the answer to that question should be, well, what are the consequences, all else being equal, of either putting the sales tax on or not doing it? And to whom do those consequences acquire benefits or costs, right? On either side, because they're not neutral choices anymore, right? It's either you're doing this or you're not doing this. It's as black as white as it can possibly get. There's no middle ground. There's no like, well, maybe we can figure out a different way to do it. Like, nope, that's it. Very rarely in government do you get a decision so clearly distilled into only two choices, with here measurable fiscal impacts. Yes, you have to do some projections of things, but for the sake of brevity and simplicity, I'll just put it to you this way. You do the sales tax and the city of Milwaukee continues to exist and function. It makes good on its promises to city employees for their retirement benefits. It continues to fund and provide reasonable benefits for current employees. And oh, it continues to pick up garbage and plow streets and test water. They may do it poorly, but they're doing it, see? Oh, the libraries. Yes, we've closed many of them, but the ones that are still open and standing, yeah, those stay open. The potholes, yes, they're terrible. But between the number zero and some potholes corrected, I'd rather have some than zero. So yeah, the choice was pretty simple. Do the sales tax, and the city of Milwaukee continues to exist. Don't do the sales tax, and it's bankrupt. Garbage doesn't get picked up. Roads don't get plowed, and I don't mean don't get plowed for a day. I mean just don't get plowed, period. No one ever shows up. That kind of stuff. Libraries? Library, maybe. And absolutely zero local control. Because if you're going through a governmental bankruptcy, yes, someone else is calling the shot. It's called a receiver. So that was the choice. Now, of course, it wasn't survive and we guarantee we thrive. It's a vote to survive. And it's not just a vote to survive. It's a vote to survive while someone still has their boot on our neck. But survive nonetheless. And the vote, to vote yes on the sales tax for many was extraordinarily difficult despite the simplicity of the financial equation. Because sales tax are also paid by poor people. And no doubt, this is not a great way for the city to avoid bankruptcy. In fact, it's probably one of the more problematic ways to do so. I could sit here and come up with 100 off the top of my head without any preparation, better ways that the state could have chosen to help save the city. But none of those were on the table today. And many of the policy provisions, yes, you can call them racist. I think a resident called it micromanaging by imbeciles. That would be a fair perspective. But nonetheless, 10 common council members, 12 common council members, 10 were needed. 12 common council members today voted for the sales tax. And I think we all need to give credit where credit is due. These aldermen and women were Jonathan Brostoff, Robert Bauman, Lamont Westmoreland, Khalif Rainey, Jocasta Zamaripa, Laressa Taylor, Michael Murphy, Mark Borkowski, Scott Spiker, Marina Dmitrievich, and Russell Stamper. So that's a model of some selfless elected officials. Those are costly, difficult votes. Some of them may not be elected again. In other words, that will be the last and most important political act of their entire political lives. And they deserve credit for that. But on the other end of the political performative spectrum is what is going on in literally every corner of the GOP. And today I just want to reiterate one of those things because I talked about it yesterday, and that is Senator Tommy Tuberville holding up military promotions, putting our national security at risk. And over the evening time, boy, did he step in it. So when being asked about military readiness, here's someone who's engaging in what he knows cannot stand long term, right? Like these people will eventually get confirmed in their appointments. He's literally trying to extort the Department of Defense into rescinding a paid time off and travel reimbursement policy for women seeking legal health services out of state in which they are based. Here's what he said. When asked if white nationalists are racists and if they're bad and shouldn't be in the military, when informed that white nationalists are indeed racist, Senator Tuberville said, "Well, that's your opinion." Yeah, performative. Disgusting. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how that's manifesting in the House of Representatives. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked here on Civic Media.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude.
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with isolated showers and storms tonight and a low in the upper 50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sun and clouds, maybe an afternoon storm, high upper 70s. Partly sunny, warmer, and low 80s Thursday. Some additional cloudiness on Friday, bringing a chance of showers and storms. High again, low 80s. Right now, it's 76.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. WMDX.
I wish I knew would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear for the whole round world to hear. I wish.
Welcome back, everybody. Evan, you give me a nod if you can hear me, and I'm doing well. Excellent. Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Don, and this is the Maggie Don Show. Join the conversation if you want to talk about sales tax and argue with me about the merits of that. Love to hear it. 844-967-2789. Some of you may know that I have a day job. I work for Milwaukee County. I'm their chief legal officer. I was in the county proceedings that were going on simultaneously to the city's common council hearing today, listening to questions from supervisors of the county board and then hearing public comment. It was really, really great to hear people engaging with the board. The county's process will continue. There'll be at least another public hearing. And the earliest the county would vote on a 0.4% sales tax would be July 27th. But anyways, I was talking about performative politics, giving props to each of the members of the Common Council today who took the hard vote to do perhaps what is not in their individual political best interests, but what they all knew is in the city's best interests. I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, we're going to talk with Erica about taxes. And here we're talking about a sales tax, which a lot of people, I think, rightly criticize as regressive, right? Because a sales tax is a flat tax. Everybody, no matter what your income level is, pays the same rate. And so depending on the scope of exemptions from sales tax, it can be quite a burden on someone who is barely making ends meet. So the city and county, if the county passes it as well, need to do everything in our power to ameliorate that problem. But of course, right at the root here is to talk as if a 2% or 2.4% sales tax is the core of the taxation and working poor problem in this country is to sort of treat a pimple on a terminal cancer patient. Right? Like, yeah, not good either, but super not the fundamental problem or point. So I look forward to talking to Erica more about that. She'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. But I was making the point that on the other end of the performative political spectrum, self-aggrandizement, not for any achievable policy objective, but simply for the act of sort of rabble-rousing your base and affirming your credentials And boy, did Tommy Tuberville succeed to that mission, blocking all these military promotions. But that's what's going on in the Senate. And it is shameful and an absolute problem that apparently no one in the Senate seems capable of managing their own members because they won't get Tuberville to get out of the way. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, that being the House of Representatives of this U.S. Congress, they're having a little bit of problem with that old Freedom Caucus. So I just need to give you a bit of what happened before because most of us missed it. So the very week that the Trump indictment dropped and the subsequent week, this was right after the debt ceiling deal was announced. The House GOP Freedom Caucus basically staged a mutiny on the House floor. And what they refused to do is agree to, quote, House rules, which govern the order and how legislation is going to be argued on the House floor. And so because they refused to do that, not a single piece of legislation was introduced or debated by the House of Representatives for nearly 8 days. And that's pretty extraordinary because it hadn't happened for 21 years. That's how long ago. And so you've got these indicators that, you know, all is not right. And the core of the matter is that the Freedom Caucus is really mad because McCarthy, to get the speaker's chair, which remember that was 3 days of voting, had to promise them certain spending limit caps. But in the debt ceiling deal, the House Freedom Caucus members are claiming that he agreed to higher spending limits than what he had agreed to with the Freedom Caucus when he cut the deal with Biden, because Joe took him to the woodshed. So there's a bit of a dissension in the ranks here. Then we find out that MTG, who sided with McCarthy in the debt ceiling deal, we find that she got kicked out of the Freedom Caucus. So here's where we are. We now have the National Defense Authorization Act, which is like almost $1 trillion in Defense Department spending. It's this huge omnibus bill. It has to get passed. Now the Freedom Caucus is threatening to hold that bill up, to attach potentially thousands of amendments that address all of these distractionary culture war issues. So I want to paint a picture. Here's what's happening in the GOP. This is really bad because there's no clear out on the NDAA for McCarthy. Because if they agree and they put a lot of these amendments in and even one gets through, Democrats can tank bill adoption. Certainly wouldn't pass the Senate. So it's not good because you need the $1 trillion to fund defense spending. So you see how these culture war issues with Tuberville and the House GOP are intersecting, all about performative politics, not about the merits of the bill. So here's what we've got in this order. There was the fight over the chairmanship, the debt ceiling fight, the mutiny and standoff where they stopped House business for a week. MTG gets kicked out, and now they're going to stop the NDAA. You think we might have a government shutdown, folks? Yeah, that's the GOP putting your hard-earned tax dollars to work, and we're going to talk about those next with our good friend, Erica Payne from the Patriotic Millionaires. Keep it locked in. I see you on the line. Keep your questions coming in. 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Flooding is still very bad in Vermont.
Vermont's 13 swift water rescue teams have now performed more than 100 rescues throughout the state, and they remain extremely busy.
That's Jennifer Morrison with the State Department of Public Safety, and the numbers are going up. People are still evacuating, and the focus is saving lives before she says they shift to recovery mode. A SWAT standoff is over at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, where a man had been holding a woman hostage in a hotel room for hours. KLAS-TV's Ryan Matthey is there.
Initial reports of shots being fired might have been mistaken from items being thrown outside of that hotel room, breaking the glass window, which landed in a nearby pool.
And years after her death, a jury in Detroit has validated a handwritten will found in Aretha Franklin's couch. Her son, Kekaf Franklin.
I think that it's a great thing. I think that she would be very happy that her wishes have been heard.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Tomorrow is the start of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. The event in its 125th year saw over 100,000 people attend last year, a record. With a new agricultural building addition, Executive Director Rusty Volk said his vision of focusing on ag is being realized after over a decade running the event.
It's been a mission, it's been a vision of mine, it's been a passion of mine. I keep telling everybody I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I get to use all my life experiences to rebuild a fairgrounds. How much fun is that? It's pretty awesome. So yes, we had to rebuild barns, replace old barns, and finally, after 14 years, we've come to that conclusion to get her done.
Five new buildings were built to replace old structures that didn't have modern amenities or enough space for animal exhibits at a cost of over $6 million. Tickets are on sale now for the fair, which runs through Sunday. And a comfortable forecast for this afternoon, some rain chances on the way tomorrow. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Don't forget to download that app, listen to us crystal clear, and contact me with just one push of a button. Couldn't be any simpler. But you can also call or text us the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. Really excited to be joined by my good friend and yours, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. Welcome back, Erica.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just, since you're here and Dave from Mequon is on the line, we're going to see what Dave from Mequon, Dave, comment, question, whatever you got for us, please say hi to Erica.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Are you there, Dave? It's me, Margaret.
Hello?
I can't hear Dave.
I can't hear Dave either. Evan, is it just that we can't hear Dave, but you can hear Dave and everybody else can hear Dave?
I don't know. Who can hear Dave?
Well, it's not me and you.
I don't know.
Ah, the perils of live radio. We'll just keep it rolling. So sorry, Dave. We're having a little technical difficulties. If Evan gets it sorted out, we'd love to hear back from you. So welcome back, Erica. Really fun to have you again. And on the eve of such a great event, tell everybody what's going on.
Yes. So we are so excited. So the Patriotic Millionaires are hosting a meet and greet tomorrow at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. And it starts, doors open at 5. We've got a fabulous free dinner for everybody at 5:30. We're going to do a presentation about what this project is and what we hope people will do when they participate. And we'll talk a little bit about the economy. So this is the Great Economy launch event, Great Economy Project launch event in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It's our first location that we've done in Wisconsin. Morning Edition on NPR covered the project that we started a few weeks ago. And so we're really excited to come to your neck of the woods, Maggie, and talk to folks across the political spectrum about this crazy economy and how it's rigged against working people. And so we're inviting Republicans, Democrats, independents, and like the biggest constituency of all these days is can't stand any of them.
Yep.
Come on out and we'll give you $50 for your trouble for coming. We'll invite you to apply to the Great Economy Project. And if you're selected for the program, then you'll come to 5 sessions with us, get $50 for each one. We'll do prizes at the drawing. We'll do drawing for prizes, great prizes tomorrow night. And it should be really fun. Couple of hours of your day. Come see how the economy is rigged and what to do about it.
And those, when you, if you're accepted into the Great Economy Project, you said they do a few sessions. And basically, the sessions are sharing information and having a discussion in a really interesting and engaging way, right?
That's right. I mean, listen, the Patriotic Millionaires have been around for about 13 years, and we've been working really hard with Democrats and Republicans to try to get the economy to a place where working people can have an easier time of it. I mean, right now, working people are working their tails off and not getting much return, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And the wealthy people, a tiny number of them, are getting richer and richer. And we look at it and think this is a bipartisan problem. It's an American problem. It's not one political party or the other. You can certainly argue about which one you think is doing a better job, but face it, we've had lots of different political parties in charge over the last several years, and things for working people seem to stay about the same while things for the rich folks get, you know, do better and better and better. And Maggie, you were talking about a sales tax that y'all are talking about. This is one of the things that people don't understand about taxes, is that when you got as messed up a system as we have on the federal level, it trickles down on the state level. So you end up having all kinds of problems in your state and local counties and things like that. And when states and localities need to raise money, the option is income tax, sales tax, or fees and fines. And it's easier to do fees and fines than it is to do a sales tax. It's easier to do a sales tax than it is to do an income tax, according to politicians. So if the wealthiest people in the country are not paying their fair share, your parking ticket's going to turn into a $100 parking ticket. Your speeding ticket's going to turn into a $200 speeding ticket. And, you know, that's where we are, and it's time to address it. It's not particularly complicated. And
yeah, the inequities in both sales taxes and fees and fines are so stark to me in so many ways. When you're just talking about what revenue generating options does a government have, and why have we evolved or devolved, as it were, into the place that we are? I mean, everybody can get their head around the idea that a $250 parking ticket that like ratchets up right at these nice regular intervals. So yeah, if you don't have cash on hand, you're punished, right? Can become a life altering, jail sentence serving inducing event for someone who is at acute economic risk and is housing and income secure, insecure. But that same $250 ticket for someone who is extraordinarily wealthy, they don't even bother to pay because they just have their accountant call the place once a year and pay them all with all the fees and fines. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's exactly right. But from a marketing place, it kind of makes sense to launch.
Of course.
That's because you can basically say, well, people shouldn't be speeding. And if they didn't speed, then they wouldn't have to pay this money. The issue is that exactly what you said, a ticket for one person is not the same as a ticket for another person. And the reason that we have all of the tickets and fees and fines and sales taxes that we need to generate revenue is because, broadly speaking, politicians of both parties don't want to tax their donors. And so they're not going to put a tax on the people who contribute to their campaigns. And the result we work for taxes mostly on the federal level because the, you know, the big umbrella structure that's holding this whole thing together is so skewed. But we've got a position right now where we've got, you know, people like Elon Musk, the billionaire, paying basically no taxes and working people paying every bit of tax. We've got Amazon, who I don't know who drives more on America's streets than Amazon.
Right? Like, what's the most basic infrastructure expenses for local governments, right?
Who drives on a road more? Do I drive more on a road with my one Subaru? You know, we live walking distance to a metro, or do the Amazon drivers? So why is Amazon paying lower taxes, lower federal taxes than I am? There have been years when Amazon has literally paid zero taxes.
Paid
a dollar in taxes last year. You paid more to fix your roads than Amazon does. And this is, I mean, it's a silly way to run a country.
Yeah, it literally makes not a whit of sense, right? It doesn't square with anyone's common sense ideas of fairness.
That's exactly right. And the
Well, we'll just keep going.
Yeah. Well, and the only way to fix it is to look people to set aside the visions that they have on some social issues and focus on money. I mean, the fact is we live in a democratic capitalist society. The dominant driver of all decisions is money. And when you see a bunch of conversation around things that don't seem to have to do with money, you can rest assured that they
about the money
level have to do about money. And so what I and the Patriotic Millionaires believe is that working people need to get together, really understand how the economy is structured so that they can see how that then affects what they're making. And then let's just work to fix it. I mean, it's a relatively straightforward set of policy solutions. My child is hollering.
Hello, family. We like families here.
To jump on the radio with me.
She's welcome.
She's clearly as outraged by these fees and fines as I am. But anyway, so tomorrow night, 5 o'clock doors open, 5:30, we have dinner. Everybody who comes is going to get $50 just for showing up. The Patriotic Millionaires have a lot of money and they want to spend it
feeding you dinner.
So take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? And we are really excited. I'll be there tomorrow. And then we've got sessions set up for several weeks coming up. We're going to talk about CEO pay, how these folks just are not worth what they're being paid. We're going to talk about the best and worst states in America to work in. We're going to talk about the basics of rigging the economy through a tax code. And we have some really interesting people coming in. So, you know, I feel like just come on, join us. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, check it out.
Dinner, it's fun. We did it in Whiteville, North Carolina. I'm originally from North Carolina, so I wanted to start it there before I headed up to Wisconsin to see my northern friends. And so anyway, just come on out. It's going to be fun. We're going to have some of our members there coming in, some folks from around Richland Center. And so it should be a great time. Do a little bowling. Come over, have supper.
All the good things. Supper with friends, a little information, and some bowling, you know.
And the thing to understand, Maggie, is that you all, like Richland Center, has some of the most powerful people, some of the most powerful voters and constituents in the entire country. Yep. You know, and this is the thing. We tried to pick places where the public debate was really, you know, neck and neck, where we felt like working people needed to understand what was happening so that we can set aside some of this. You know, the funding the police, not funding the police, like whatever people want to talk about on those social.
That's why Whiteville, right? And Richland Center, that's why these places were chosen, because those votes are power votes. Y'all have it in your hands.
That's exactly right. And so we're doing it. And then the third place that we'll go to in September is a place called Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. And what we're doing in each of these states is we're gathering a cross-partisan group of people, all ages, all different types of people across the political spectrum. And we're going to compensate them $50 a session to come for 5 different sessions. They can come for as many or as few as they want. Learn a little about the economy. We'll serve you dinner every time. We'll give you a little, some cash in your pocket for your trouble. And then we'll see if we can't do something about this. So tomorrow night is the meet and greet where we sort of lay out what the program's going to look like, what we're hoping from people. But mostly we want you to come hang out with us for a couple of hours and talk about the economy. We want to hear what you think about the economy. We want to tell you some of the things that we've learned in all of these years of working to fix it. And then in the meantime, we'll have some supper. We'll do some fun prizes. And it's pretty fun. I mean, it's fun.
Right.
So come on.
That's so there was, I've had moments, right, where I've had the opportunity to actually get somebody talking about some of this stuff, because it really does matter to all of us. And I think even though we may be very frustrated with government, right, and the, ugh, I'm done with it all, we want it to work well and we want it to work fairly. We want it to check with like a common sensibility, you know, right? Like, yes, that makes sense. That, mm-hmm. And it should make sense. And this is the fundamental thing I like to say to anybody who thinks, well, I have to identify myself as a Republican or a Democrat. I said, whatever level of government or however much of it you think there should be, it's going to collect taxes, right? And it's going to run some programs, national defense and whatnot. We can argue about how government spends its money all day long. And no matter what size you want it to be, it should work well, right? For most of us, it should feel like it's working fairly too. And that, I hope, Erica, it sounds like is really at the root of what you're trying to say and approach in this very basic way. It should be fair. We should be able to hold it accountable, meaning government and the systems that it perpetuates.
Well, Maggie, I'll even go a step further. It just shouldn't be stupid. I mean,
you heard it here. I mean, government should not be stupid. I agree. Yes.
And the government shouldn't be stupid. The policymakers should try really hard to like use information instead of.
Well, wouldn't that be nifty? That
feeling or the force when they're making choices. But here's the fact of the matter. We have a tax system that values every single dollar a Wall Street investor makes more than every single dollar a working person makes. So even if you and a Wall Street investor make the same amount of money, they will end the year richer than you because the tax code gives a preferential treatment to the kind of money that they make. Now, the result of that and a whole bunch of other ridiculous things in the tax code is that we have an economic system that's going to guarantee that people in this country become even more unequal, even more quickly over time. We're at 100-year levels of inequality right now, and the whole country is about to fall apart. So I think of it as a game of economic Jenga. People keep on pulling the blocks out of the bottom and out of the middle, loading them on the top. The whole thing's going to fall down. And the only thing that's going to make this thing work is if sensible people across the political aisle sit down and have some conversations about the one thing that is at the heart of a capitalist democracy, which is money. And the patriotic millionaires want to facilitate that conversation in Richland Center. So we hope people will come out tomorrow night and join us.
I sure do too. Thank you, Erica Payne. It's always a pleasure to have you. I hope you continue to grace us with your informed presence. It's my pleasure to have you. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. I've got some thoughts on some more lighthearted topics when we come back after the break. Keep it locked. Join the convo, 844-967-2789. Who could ever reach me? For the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me. For the son of a preacher man. You see what? We recovered.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with isolated showers and storms tonight and a low in the upper 50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sun and clouds, maybe an afternoon storm, high upper 70s. Partly sunny, warmer, and low 80s Thursday. Some additional cloudiness on Friday, bringing a chance of showers and storms. High again, low 80s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
WMBX.
Pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Bad mood? No problem. Cue up a little. It's Joni Mitchell, right? Yeah. Hope I got. Whew. Don't embarrass yourself on live radio and get Miss Mitchell wrong. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Call us, text us, 844-967-2789. I was just talking with our good friend Erica Payne about the tax system. It doesn't work. I mean, right? Doesn't work. We can start with that. It's sort of like the immigration system. Everyone agrees it's totally dysfunctional, yet no one can agree to do anything about it. But it's interesting. I think if you fix the tax code, you might actually be able to get some elected officials to do something about the immigration system problem, because maybe they wouldn't be bought and sold by the billionaire donor class. Perhaps. So I promised you some more lighthearted news. Lighthearted, probably not the right word. I have to be honest with you. Perhaps more, less depressing. It's now just a matter of like least worst. Which one to go with first? So I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently Donald Trump does not know what a blizzard is. Now, this may seem like a trivial matter to you. And yes, I am talking about a DQ blizzard, the place with the dilly bars and the frozen ice cream cakes, ubiquitous throughout the upper Midwest. I mean, you don't know what a blizzard is? It's delicious, crumbled up like Heath bar. That was my jam back in the day. Boy, that was good. What was your favorite blizzard? He didn't know what it was. He was there and he's like, everybody keeps talking about these blizzards. Didn't know what it was. And I read about it on Twitter, and usually I don't talk about stuff that's this sort of infantile and silly. But it really got me thinking, because this is also the guy that like didn't know how to eat pizza. I mean, I always want some question in a debate to always be, how much does a gallon of milk cost? Right? Each person gets asked like a variety of that question. They never know quite what product it might be. I suppose they could start prepping for that. But you get my point. Like, Donald Trump, no idea about normal people things. I mean, I can tell you that much. Joe Biden knows about normal people things. Right? Like, objective question. Who is more likely to know what a gallon of milk costs? It's Joe Biden. Just is. Who's more likely to know what a freaking blizzard is? Answer, Joe Biden. That's just the deal. So I found an article in the Washington Post where a guy actually put together like a statistical analysis to try to figure out. His thought was, boy, shouldn't Donald Trump really know what a blizzard is? Because most people that live where blizzards are a big deal voted red, voted for Republicans. And it's called, Can You Win the Midwest Without Knowing About Dairy Queen? yesterday by a guy named Philip Bump. And it's interesting. Here was his conclusion. Counties with the highest density of stores per resident also voted much more heavily for Trump. Boom. Also, the states other than Illinois, where there are the most DQ locations, are also those that tend to be purple or red. And it's really interesting because Mr. Bump points out, and Texter, I see this. I'm going to get to your text in just a second. What is the Donald Trump hook, right? It's like, oh, all those East Coast elites and those coastal, they don't care anything about you people in flyover country. Well, he doesn't know what a blizzard is. I don't know how much more clearly he can make the point that he might not know much or care much about folks in flyover country. Here's what Philip Bump said. It's a bit like walking into McDonald's and saying that you don't know what a Big Mac is. Yeah, pretty much. It's concerning. Yeah, out of touch. The least of Donald Trump's faults. But I just think it's yet another axis on which you can be like, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Well, yeah, it's not a hard choice. Okay, a texter says the City of Milwaukee Employee Retirement Service is and has been underfunded for years. As a separate system from the rest of the state, we missed an opportunity to tie in with the state in 2021, but Mayor Barrett said no. So this has been brewing for years. I don't disagree with you. So the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are the only two local jurisdictions in the state that have their own pension. Everybody else is part of the Wisconsin retirement system, which is basically, if not the best public retirement system in the country, one of. I mean, it's right up there. And basically, like, the math didn't work in the pensions. The benefits were too rich and too generous for far too long. And there were fewer and fewer employees because the city had to cut and cut and cut because share revenue was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking on a real dollar basis. So the pension plans became underfunded. And now they have to make these sort of mind-bendingly huge payments. That's how we got here. I would also argue that, you know, getting rid of the residency requirement, a lot of those things have impacted the city and county in a big way. But yeah, the pensions and failing to understand how to fund those, big deal. And let me be clear, but like 2% of current folks that work at the city or the county are beneficiaries that'll get those rich benefits. The rest of us are just working stiffs, you know, worried about my 401k. Yeah, that's me too. Here was the other little bit of good news. Thank you, Texter. Appreciate that. Love it. Wonky in the weeds. That's my thing. All right. Last bit of good news for the day. I am big news. Super happy about this. July 6th, L. Lynn Wood resigns his law license in the state of Georgia, and he also agrees to the following terms. This is an unqualified, irrevocable, and permanent resignation of his license, and he agreed that he could not ever practice law again in any state. Yes, Lynn Wood. Goodbye to you, I say. Good day, sir. I mean, this guy. Oh, Bob Spindell, we're coming for you next. Jim Troupas, you're on the list. I'm Maggie Dawn. It's been another episode of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. I'll be back again tomorrow with my good friend Evan Preston. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Designed for curious travelers. Viking offers all-inclusive voyages on all seven continents, with no children and no casinos on board. Learn more at Viking.com.
When you're trying to hire, all that searching, screening, and interviewing can become its own job. You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution that makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.